Creation Ministries presents Letters to Rachel, the story of redemption made simple and designed for your spiritual enlightenment. Let us continue with part two, The Seduction in Eden. When I broke off last time, Lucifer had just been defeated in a battle which occurred in heaven. He had been thrown down to the earth, along with a third of the original number of angels. He was now called Satan, and his angels called demons. Even this, however, was significant. Why was he sent to earth? Why was he not just destroyed on the spot? It was already shown that he would only continue to reject the light as offered. He refused to give up his sin. So what further purpose was there of his continued existence? The answer to this question is the history of the human race. The newly created earth was to be the focal point of all the universe, a place where Lucifer would be allowed to have his way for a time. And after that, all who looked upon it would see exactly what sin was, and why God's law was not some arbitrary set of rules, but a perfectly harmonious system by which all creation would function in unity. All along, heaven had been proving this by example. Now, earth was to prove it again by counterexample. Even while the rebellion was going on in heaven, Yah was involved in his greatest project to date. Upon this ball of matter, called a planet, he was creating things out of physical particles that represented the various aspects of himself and his spiritual kingdom. He created certain structures with a property called life, which was a manifestation of love and represented the force of love in all of its aspects. Just as the aspects of sin were war, anger, hate, and such, the aspects of love were renewal, growth, peace, and happiness. All the things which were present in Lucifer at the dawn of his existence. When all these things were created and functioned in perfect unison, Yah outdid himself by making a new kind of creature. This creature was not as mighty or as intelligent as his first race, but it did have a quality about it that the angels did not possess. In this man was placed a creative drive that was a reflection of Yah himself. He could think and reason, and devise in ways that no other being could, and in a way that made him appear similar to the very God that created him. The day after he did this, the Creator looked down on all he had done and was very well pleased with it. He rested on that seventh day and spent time with man, the crowning work of all that he had made. Lucifer's rebellion, meanwhile, was continuing to grow both in size and intensity. All the angels were drawn to the creation of earth and gloried in its completion. And on the day when Yah rested, there was a great celebration in his spiritual kingdom, when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Job chapter 38, verse 7. But the rebel did not rejoice. Why should not the greatest of all the angels, the pinnacle of all spiritual creation, have a part in the development of this new physical realm? Why was his opinion not valued in the laying of the foundation of the earth? Why were his insights not requested concerning the nature of this new man creature? It is said of the Archangel Michael, "All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." John chapter 1, verse 3. And while he and Yah were planning and building, Lucifer was left to simmer in his own growing sense of self-worth. After his fall, Satan's contempt for God was complete, and his hatred was now fully directed toward man, who had replaced him as Yah's greatest work. Here on earth, Satan was still permitted to move with some freedom. He was allowed the power to continue pleading his case against God to the holy angels, and he then set about to prove that their father's law was unjust. But more than that, he wanted to stamp out whatever it was that heaven recognized in this man as being anything like their mighty creator. God had created plants that dropped seeds, which produced other plants. He created animals of one kind in two forms, which, by joining together, could produce other animals of the same kind. Adam saw that each animal God had made was provided with a companion, a partner. When his father saw that Adam had become aware of this, he said, "It is not good that man should be alone." Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. And so he formed the first woman out of the very body of the first man. Now Adam had a companion and a partner, someone in whom he could see like traits, reflections of himself in her, even as his father saw in him. And even in looking at Eve, Adam felt the force of love, the great creative power from which all existence is knit, and he understood more clearly the ways of his God. His joining with her was the first marriage, a holy act ordained by the Creator himself, and forever after it would be a symbol of his connection with his children. Even today, the marriage ceremony often includes the famous verse, "What God has joined together, let no man put asunder." How much better off we would be if we applied this not only to our connection with our other, but with our spirits to God Himself. Glorious Eden was the foremost garden of beauty among all the wonders that Yah had created on earth. Here were examples of all kinds of life, and two kinds that were found nowhere else on the planet. One was the Tree of Life, a symbol of God's eternal energy and the means by which immortality was maintained. Its presence ensured continued growth and development on earth, and while it flourished, nothing else could be destroyed. The other was the tree of knowledge of good and evil. This was the temptation the Father allowed to be present in Eden in regard to Satan's claims that Yah's law was unjust. It, as opposed to the tree of life, was the symbol of Lucifer's rebellion and of knowledge gained by deception and mistrust. For, although it was called the tree of knowledge, nothing was truly hidden from Adam. Whatsoever he wished to know, he could have asked from his Creator. With all of eternity before him, he would eventually have learned all things anyway. Yet, Satan must be allowed to present his case, for this was the very issue which began his slow, painful descent into destruction. Eve had not heard the words of caution regarding the tree of knowledge from Yah directly. She had not been personally warned against eating of it from God, but from Adam, to whom the commandment was given. Even so, mistrust was as unknown to the first couple as was death, and Eve had no reason to doubt Adam's warning. But Lucifer was permitted to guard the tree and to speak to the pair from that place. Eventually, Eve did wander near enough to the tree that she could hear the voice of the tempter. Now, when first cast from heaven, the dark angel Lucifer was also referred to as the dragon. As such, he was seen to have characteristics in common with the creature known as the serpent. As a result of what became after the fall of man, the snake was given an instinctive aversion to humans, and it has been shown that most humans have a natural fear of snakes. This was only one of the aspects of the curse that was placed upon the snake kind by Yah. The other was that it would now crawl upon its belly in the dust. Genesis chapter 3, verse 14. Before that, it had either legs or wings, characteristics which would make it seem even more like the dragon that Lucifer had become. With its golden voice, the intelligent viper called to the woman and began the work which had become its specialty. He called to her, asking, "Hasn't God said that you may eat fruits from any tree in the garden?" Eve responded that this was so, except for that one tree, for if they ate from it, or even touched it, they would die. And the snake responded boldly, "Ye shall not surely die." Genesis chapter 3, verse 4. The reason for the true restriction, Satan said, was that the tree had the power to make human wise, even to be gods themselves. Now Lucifer had already tasted the fruit of this tree in the spiritual sense, and yet he lived. Here, the very same process repeated again. A question: hasn't God said that ye may eat fruits from any tree in the garden? Which led to a doubt. Ye shall not surely die, even though God said you would. Which then led to a lie. And ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. This was the very process which befell the mighty archangel. A question of God's character, leading to doubts of his love and knowledge, which led to deception when Lucifer tried to hide his growing rebellion from his Lord. Letters to Rachel is produced and distributed by Creation Ministries, P.O. Box 424, Idlewild, California 92549. For more information, you may call the toll-free number 1-888-284-2487. May Yah's inspiration be eternally yours as you seek His wisdom, grace, and understanding. No copyrights exist on Letters to Rachel. Copy freely and distribute to your friends and family.